Good Tuesday to your football fans. It is the podcast, not the Monday podcast, the Tuesday podcast. Can't tell you why. It was definitely not Super Bowl related, though. Definitely not. That was not the reason why we didn't do a podcast
on
Monday. Nope, none at all. Felt great Monday morning in my 6 a.m. run, as per usual.
The group text between us had nothing to do with, can we put it off because I'm hungover and... Dunlop wants to sleep, and Sherman's hacking up his lungs.
Sherman thinks he's being clever when most people who read the papers just think, oh boy, those guys were victims of the Rodgers cuts. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, seriously. We still might be.
Yeah, it's true. We joke.
Yeah, it is only 10:06.
If you can't laugh at such things, what can you laugh at, eh? Really? Redundancy. Anyway, we have a big show today, actually, because it's our first ever live studio audience.
Wow. You're right. In the history of the show.
We have Jordan here perusing the podcast.
Hello,
checking
Jordan.
Checking out the business. Ryerson student. Welcome, pal. Yep, Jordan waved.
He waved.
Welcome. It's such pressure when you're trying to perform with someone watching, you know?
Do you feel it?
I feel like a voyeur.
Yeah.
You're
imagine having a job like
organized.
That.
Yeah.
Have to perform with people watching.
Remember we tried the live studio audience idea before at the score?
No.
A couple of times, like specials and that.
Oh, downstairs, you mean?
Yeah. Yes. I always wanted to. That was initially the pitch for the footy show was, you know, let's do a live audience.
That's why they built the set.
That's why they built the set.
Well, they did it on The Spin or whatever Coolius' show became, remember?
That's right, yeah.
Aaron Peterson would give out gifts and there was like awkward
of course,
hockey
that's
team
the number
sitting
one thing
behind
you remember.
Him. That's all you'd stare at, you know?
Right. Yeah, where's Aaron Peterson nowadays? Any idea?
I think out west.
Is she?
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they
just
care.
I didn't mean that. I just mean nobody cares that we're talking about that right now.
How were your Super Bowl shenanigans anyway, aside from the obviously copious amounts of alcohol?
Well, Martine Garrett and I had a fantastic time
you're
watching
working,
it together.
That's right, you lose
that's right,
them.
Yeah.
So did they put on a show in the middle of the big
well,
game?
Well, we came up, so we had curling. We had it was the Recharge with Milk Ontario tankard. But because it was earlier, it was earlier in the day, we were able to, we had fixed the replay time for the final to go during the Super Bowl. But it was ending at 10:12, so we knew we were on. At 10:12, regardless. The game didn't end until 10:30.
There's no one watching you.
So I opened by saying, you know, hello, curling fans and mom. She wasn't even watching.
That's good.
It was one of those shows where you felt like nobody was actually watching, which is good.
Like
I got away without swearing, which was shocking.
Reminded you back at the score, right?
Well.
Pretty sure. No one watching.
I don't think that's true. I think, you know what? They just told you that. They skewed with the numbers just so they could pay you less. That's what they did.
I remember doing sports world for years and, you know, you get the numbers. Back in those days, they send the numbers out, I think on a Tuesday, right? And so often it'd be
a handwritten sheet.
N-A.
N-A.
Like it wasn't even the zero.
They couldn't even
N-A.
Qualify them.
Oh, my God. But now and again, they'd be like, N-A, N-A, 25, 60.
Yeah.
N-A. Like what happened what was going on that day?
You'll drive yourself nuts.
Probably the cricket segment.
Yeah, you'll drive yourself nuts looking at those. Fraz and Fitzroy just boosted the ratings.
Yeah, numbers mean nothing. God, they mean nothing. But yeah, you had a good time though, Tom? Obviously.
Awesome, yeah. Really good.
Party at your place, or was it?
Well, my brother Chris had a keg, so we got into it pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
I went to a party and 10 guys, obscene amounts of food. Hit a certain age, I think. And suddenly the food becomes more important than the booze. And there was plenty of booze, trust me, a lot of booze. And other such things. But the food was insane. 10 pounds of wings came out to start with, right? There's like 8 of us. And then we had sausage and pork chops. And then venison.
What? Oh, venison.
Two of these guys are hunters, and they've been hunting this weekend.
My
And they came
God.
Back with venison. It's my first time eating venison. It was life-changing.
Really?
I love deers. Love Bambi. Great movie. But I don't care. I will eat that again.
Yeah.
My word, it was so rich and tender. Oh, yeah, because there was leftovers. There's a lot of very, very fat people there.
Yeah. 8 men and 1 deer? How big do you think? It wasn't an elephant deer. I don't think I knew that venison was deer.
I thought it was a bird.
Really?
At first. I thought about it more, I would have known, but I thought pheasant. I'm getting pheasant and venison mixed up.
As most people do.
Common mistake.
Pheasant and venison,
Common mistake.
This freaking show's going to the birds, isn't it?
Well, Jordan hasn't tweeted
going the way of Bambi actually
yet,
so.
Jordan's tweeting right now, if ever I thought I could get in this business, I then feel more confident because these guys are friggin' idiots.
Oh, yeah.
And if I can't get a job in this business,
morons. We're eating, we're talking about, we don't even know the score from the Chelsea game.
I usually feel like I told Dobby as we walked in, I usually feel like a bag of crap when we walk in today. I feel extra worse today.
Extra worse.
Yeah, you must.
I don't know what it is.
And you didn't get into Ryerson journalism. Extra worse.
Jordan's good. Just reminding me of that. Yeah. Extra worse.
Extra worse. That's why you didn't get in.
Yeah. this is the running joke for the last 10 years. Because of Dobby's Ryersonness, you know, he's such a better wordsmith than I.
Is wordsmith even a word?
It is. But
it's a title for someone.
Is it?
No, give us your take, Dobby. What?
No, it's okay. It's a bit of a...
What would Professor Schneider say? What was the problem?
It's a bit of a... not great.
Did you even finish school, Dobbs?
Yeah, I did.
You did in the end, despite much pressure from your boss at the score?
Yeah, to not, yeah.
You told him not to, just
Eric
so you
Snyder.
Could get
him. Not me, Eric Snyder.
Just quit. We need you full time. Just don't do your last year.
I'm 6 months away from graduating.
6 months away from graduating. I think I'll finish. Yeah.
Good
My
advice.
Mom will kill me.
First Good Dobby in your family to do so? Graduate from university?
Pretty much.
It's pressure.
Yeah.
You had to.
Yeah.
First Dobby to read.
Yeah. Wordsmith.
All right. To some games. Listen, this weekend was a turning point for me. I officially became... Yeah. A school that Leicester can win the Premier League.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people were in the same boat. I think everyone was looking to this game and, you know, see what kind of performance they could have. And I thought honestly that the goal would be if they can avoid losing to both City and Arsenal, draw both of those games and keep in there. But the way they went out and did that, I think a lot of people turned that page and now are actually thinking that this team not only could win it but are the favorites to win the title.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're favorites. I still don't know if I would say they're going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I still put other teams ahead of them but I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm prepared to say they're very much in the title hunt now.
Yeah.
You know, the inevitable fall isn't going to happen. They're going to be there to the very end.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought it was happening, and I thought it had happened. I think they didn't score for three matches in
Around
a row
Christmas,
at least.
Right?
You know, they lost that game to Liverpool, and then they drew with Man City, which is still a good result. But, you know, there was a 0-0 in there.
It's four games they went without one.
Without a goal, and that's when you thought it was coming. But the fact that they were still picking up points in that stretch, they only lost the one game and they were getting draws, it kind of kept them right there and they were able to, you know, kick on again now. And it really is crazy how they're getting stronger now again with the squad not being huge and pretty much the same starting 11. I think that was the fifth straight match that they've run out the same team. But, you know, a huge advantage, and it's come up, I know, and will continue coming up, is that the teams around them all have other competitions, and Leicester don't. This is all they have. So, you know, 13 games to go that they can just focus on the league is a huge advantage with your title rivals all involved in other competitions.
I feared during that stretch where they weren't scoring and when they were, it drew those teams over Christmas, that they were aware of their position because they weren't taking the same risks. They humiliated City on Saturday. That was
destroyed them.
November, October Leicester. Like, it was unbelievable. And Claudio Ranieri, I mean, Did you see him on the sidelines? It's like Peter Drury had a great line, like, no spectacles, no problem. The view is still beautiful from his vantage point. Come the third point, the third goal, excuse me, when they panned to him, you could finally see like that really cheeky smile. And almost he had the same expression on his face that most of the fans do.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is real life. Right now,
it's surprise and shock. And I thought that it was like that. The feeling in the stadium, the feeling with the commentators and even the fans,
it was
shocked throughout. The first goal went in and it was almost like there was a pause of like, and Leicester in front, and the same with the second goal. And nobody could really believe what was happening because we all kind of say, what a nice run, but City's going to win this and they'll be level on points and they'll kick on and Leicester will finish fourth. And it's been a great story and thanks for the memories for 6 months.
Yeah. You know, but I got the impression though that this match, this win was perhaps less shocking than previous wins in that, okay, yeah, Man City were favourites going into this one, but yeah, I can see Leicester winning this.
Mm.
Look at the form against the top four, top five all year long. It's been incredible.
They
bossed these big teams, you know, right? That's kind of where I was at, a little bit different, just that, yeah, well, okay. I'm no longer surprised.
Yeah, I was stunned still. I was expecting them fully to lose this game because it was such a pivotal one for Man City and they're so good at home and they just were the team that I was picking, and I think a lot of people were still picking to win the title. And
are you still?
They're not out of it. They're 6 points, but the back line. I can't do it with that center back pairing. I just can't. And I know Kompany's going to be due back soon, but Otamendi and De Michaelis are just absolutely shocking together at the back, and they don't look nearly good enough to help a team win a title.
I wonder if it comes down to the fact that, like, I know Mangala has had his questionable moments. if he just can't communicate as well with either of the two of them. So Pellegrini's like, forget it. They can communicate. It's fine.
You know what's fascinating about that point is I read a great thing on Guardiola this past week and how he changed things at Bayern Munich and what he loves in the play. He loves raw talent.
Yeah.
And when he got to Bayern Munich, Jerome Boateng, he discovered, had never been coached defense before. Didn't know a center back could actually organize a back line. He didn't know that. He thought, wow, that's terrible. But man, look at the potential.
Yeah.
I can turn this guy into a great defender. And now he's arguably the best center back in world football. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, you look at a Mangala, so raw, has all the tools apparently. But clearly, like you said, he doesn't seem to really have an idea from a tactical standpoint what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a perfect fit for a Pep Guardiola when he takes over next year.
He also went through stretches, though, with company there where he played really, really well.
Beside an organizer.
And honestly, I'm beginning to suspect maybe it's a language thing. A language and a comfort thing. I mean, if you're playing with one of Otamendi and Di Michaelis, I mean, geez, Di Michaelis is a liability. So, you know, maybe you can't cover up for those errors and mistakes, but I don't know. I just found that as maybe a striking point.
My biggest issue with City again, though, this past week was it's a huge week for them and their manager, Pellegrini, right? I mean, let's be honest, it's a bit embarrassing for him. They said that we're behind the manager, you know, next year's next year. That was a pathetic performance. They weren't even giving everything, it seemed to me. Mm-hmm. And we discussed their leadership issues for a long time when company's not in the 11. You know, who is leading this team? Again, Yaya Toure, you know, two days prior, his agent comes out, yeah, we want to meet with Pep Guardiola. Shut up.
Yeah.
Just play your football.
It's
he
ridiculous.
Is an absolute disgrace. And that game personified what he has become for this team. He's an anchor.
Oh, and hauled off. I mean, you know, when you're down 2-0 to get pulled off like that, when you think that you need your leaders and, you know, just the difference in the teams, and you say they weren't ready to play. When Leicester are scoring less than 3 minutes into both halves, it just shows that one team's ready to play and the other one isn't.
Yeah.
And the one is supposed to be the perennial title contenders, the one with all the money. It is amazing. And then you talk about the center back pairings. Robert Huth and Wes Morgan are 10 times better than Otamendi and Di Michaelis right now.
It's
and they're worth 1/10. It literally boggles the mind. You cannot put it into, I can't describe it. You can't believe it. For outsiders, I was trying to explain to somebody over the weekend that doesn't want what was going on. And it was impossible.
You didn't give it another
sports example. What is the comparison? Is there a North American comparison to what we're seeing this year?
Yeah.
I don't know if there is.
Just the way for people to comprehend it, the way I've been explaining it is depending on their sport of choice, be it baseball or I've been using hockey. Take an AHL team, the Marlies, the exact same roster, and now they're playing and every night bossing the Penguins and the Capitals and the Blackhawks. Just boss them around and they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Well before they even get to the fourth round.
I mean, people have compared, I think, the Tampa Bay in baseball, you know, in 08, I think it was, mentioned that. There's some examples, but in playoffs and cup runs, you get these odd results.
Sure.
Teams catching fire, but to do it over an entire season, you know, over 38 games, I mean, it's staggering. I just don't know what the comparison is. People say Greece at 04. Well, that was an enormous shock.
Yeah.
But again, it's
one
catching
tournament.
Lightning in a bottle, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. For a marathon season, we've never seen it.
Right.
We've never seen it.
No.
They've got 13 games left.
Yeah, we're two-thirds of the way there.
Right. Even top four would be the same. Quite frankly, at this point, no matter what happens, I think their legacy, their record books will speak for themselves.
True.
And this has been that season.
But where they are right now, I think that, and you can't, it might have been going into this one, but again, it's like this is the turning point. But now you look at this game against Arsenal on Sunday and are like, okay, well, maybe that one now. Like, you just
there's
can't
one
really.
More, right?
There's always the one more and the one more. And maybe now that they are in that position, now we expect them to be there. Maybe they go out and lose that one. I'm like, okay, just so fascinating.
But then you've got Norwich, you've got West Brom, you've got Watford,
my God,
you got
the run after
Newcastle,
that.
Palace, Southampton, Sunderland,
all
West
winnable.
Ham,
all
Swansea.
Winnable.
Eight of their last 13 against teams in the bottom half.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say you're reluctant to give them the credit that they've earned being this point up and this 6 points up and comfortable. If that's United or Chelsea or Arsenal in this current season, if that's Arsenal, you're already crowning them.
Absolutely.
You're already crowning them.
With the stretch they have coming up and the way they've played, for sure. I just almost cannot believe it and fathom it. So we're just looking for excuses
for sure.
or ways that it's going to fall apart on them. But they've been consistently the best team in the league by far
and
this season.
Fluking wins, right? They're being the better team in these games,
sure.
right? And they play the swagger. They believe, I think for a long time, they probably didn't quite believe it themselves. But now you watch them, the whole body language, when they talk after the matches, they truly believe that they are very valid contenders.
Which means that Vardy's going to hold out for £300,000 a week in the summer.
We know that. Sure. I think the summer's going to be fascinating for this team because with the TV money coming in and the Champions League money coming in, which I think is coming in,
they can
retain players, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they'll be really... They might want to go out and make a big splash, make a big name, but you hope that they stick with this 11.
Stick with what they've done.
Yeah.
Signing they guys like Mahrez for 400 grand. Right? Conte, who they signed in this past window, he's been fantastic and fit right into the side.
Destroyed
problem.
Yeah.
Was it their chief scout Arsenal just got?
He found Mahrez and found Conte,
just,
was it?
Got him.
He's got a phenomenal name.
So they stole him. Yeah.
Isn't it a very English name?
It sounds like you would write a play, I don't know why I said a play, a comedy sketch. Ben Wrigglesworth.
Yeah, very English. Yeah. Wrigglesworth is a great
name. I guess very English.
Wrigglesworth.
But for a chief scout?
I wouldn't hire him for that name. I wouldn't get the resume.
Wrigglesworth. He's wriggling players out of situations.
name one successful Wrigglesworth, apart from this guy.
Rob Wrigglesworth, right?
No, it's a very northern name, Wrigglesworth, right? He's a Manc. Actually, from Burnley.
It's just Rob Riggle. There's no Wrigglesworth. It's just Rob Riggle.
Is that the comedian that looks like Aaron Rodgers?
He does like the NHL awards. He's done, yeah.
Wrigglesworth? Wrigglesworth.
That's who the NHL can get to do their award show. Rob Riggle. Not Wrigglesworth, yeah.
Wrigglesworth is like a butler's name, isn't it? Some bad movie.
Lord Wrigglesworth. This would be long in the memory of the memory of Lord Wrigglesworth.
Yeah, Wrigglesworth.
Sherman says, butler, you went extreme wealth. You went the opposite end.
No, but it'd be the extreme of talking to the butler, though.
You ring the bell.
Wrigglesworth!
He is the rich one.
Downton Abbey. I bet there's a Wrigglesworth in Downton Abbey.
Wrigglesworth!
Where's my tea? Bend over, Wrigglesworth, and take it like a man. You know, that kind of thing.
This show went crazy. I just end on one Ranieri point again? Because I'm in love with the story of Ranieri. Pre-match when he said...
You know, in the old show, the funny show, we'd have this like taped and we'd play Wrigglesworth and every now and again future shows. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
If only we had resources, like Leicester will after winning the league in £147 million. He'd said pre-match, Ranieri, that, asked about, are you feeling the pressure? And he said, they have to win. We just have to play. I hope that he can keep that approach, with each upcoming match, because it's the only way, I think, mentally that they'd stay there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And why there's no evidence to suggest that they will change that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that sent us a tweet, and it was actually quoting post-Super Bowl. Where the hell was it? Oh, yeah, they want to be famous. We want to be champions. They want to be rappers and backup dancers. We want to play football. That could be Leicester saying that. That could be Riyad Mahrez, Robert Huth. Where's Morgan?
Maybe Robert Huth.
Kasper Schmeichel.
I think Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy would love to be rappers. Absolutely.
I can see Vardy, for sure.
You say, like,
I can see Vardy falling off the freaking wagon totally this summer, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy who's going to let the success go to his head a little bit. And
a few wild nights in Sheffield.
Nights, Sheffield
got
boy.
Got a tattoo in his right
calf. What's it saying?
Jamie Vardy's having a party.
Shit. What's it called? Talk shit, cat bang. What? Cat bang? Get bang.
Get bang.
Right.
Boy.
Look it up. It's quite amusing. It's an old one, actually. You've heard this before.
Yeah,
surely,
it's like it's the English, left of center HDMH Marcus Stroman return.
Yeah. Anyway, it's very impressive indeed. Quickly before we move on, the whole Pep thing was obviously the huge story last week. Mm-hmm. We're not surprised. It's bound to happen at some point. What are your initial observations? Is this the game changer in English football?
I think it's the toughest test for him. Don't you think? He comes into a club who have assembled the stars and have the capability to buy all the players that he had inherited or was able to shop for before. They've never been able to win. They're in a place and in a spectrum where they're expected to boss Europe as they, had for periods in the Premier League. He needs to find consistency. They've never been able to do it. I think it's a huge challenge for him.
It is, because, there's only one thing he can do to be successful, and that's win everything.
Win the Champions League.
Win everything. You're right, yeah.
I think the turnover is going to be remarkable. I think that it's going to be a brand new team next season. I think he's going to bring in a lot of players that he wants, and I don't think there's many untouchables on that team. I mean, look down the line. Who's untouchable in that team right now?
Sterling.
Aguero, Sterling, maybe Hart.
Yeah.
Maybe. Untouchables?
Who's untouchable? Who is guaranteed to be in that starting 11 next season?
Ooh, I like this game. Let's do this game, shall we? Stay or go, Man City. Okay, we may have done this, actually.
I think we did it in the last season.
The beginning of February.
But given that it's a few months later and now it's a new manager, let's quickly go through it here, very quickly here. Okay, right. So Joe Hart's fine, I think.
He should be fine, but I wouldn't be shocked if, for some reason, he replaced him. But
yeah, I mean, his distribution is a bit of a concern, maybe, because Pep loves that. And, you know, well, there's had some pretty good goalies in the past. Okay, Gael Clichy gone. Fullbacks are gone, right? I'm assuming they're older now.
I don't think any of them are untouchable or guaranteed
Clichy's
back.
Clichy's probably gone. Di Michaelis, I imagine, is gone. Kolarov, he's got
he'll
a bit
stick around.
To him.
Depth club
player, right? Yeah. Company, if he'll stick around, I'm sure. He wants a leader. He needs that. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, Mangala, I think he'll stick around.
I think
he'll,
he will
he'll
as
see
well.
What's there.
I think he'll actually turn him into Boateng.
Otamendi. He wasn't cheap. It depends what kind of loss City are prepared to take.
But he's not going to be trotting him out in the starting 11 every week, that's for sure.
Nope. Sanya's probably gone too. He's 32. Again, it could be a depth guy. I read somewhere that they might move him inside a little bit as well. Yeah. Zabaleta, he's still class.
Yeah, he'll be around, right? But again, he's kind of
all
part.
These older guys, though.
De Bruyne is going to stick around. Delph, I think, will stick around. Obviously, he's young enough.
Fabian Delph playing for Pep Guardiola. Boy.
Hey, he might be the best thing for him.
Mark Albrighton, part of a championship-winning Leicester team, should never let him go.
And he looked good. He's looked really,
been
really
fantastic.
Good.
Nasri's going to be gone, hopefully.
Yeah, Nasri will be gone.
He'll be in China, right?
UAE
he's
or something.
China written all over him.
Yeah.
Danny Alves today was 12 million net. That was his offer, 12 million euro.
Was it? Jesus Navas.
he might go.
He'll go back to like Spain, some team there. Fernandinho might stick around. He's kind of a player that Pep needs, I would think.
Yeah.
David Silva, of course. Bye. Good riddance.
You say Aguero. Of course, for Silva, but I think he can find, if Pep can find a serviceable replacement, and by that I mean just talent-wise or ability, then you do it.
Can't get rid of the whole team. I mean, it's
right.
You know, but there's going to be so many changes.
And the thing is about Pep, and it's wonderful, when he went to Bayern Munich from Barcelona, everyone wrote these great columns. Well, man, see ya, Robben and Ribery. Mm. You know, he doesn't want typical wingers, and he actually built the team around those two players. So who the hell knows what he's going to do? That's the beauty of Pep Guardiola.
Is he going to show up on his first official day with a thick Manc accent?
I hope so.
Is he sitting there right now enjoying his time and kind of having his swan song at Bayern and thinking, I hope that they fail this season? Does he hope that they finish third in the Premier League and go out in the quarterfinals of the Champions League?
Absolutely.
Probably.
As opposed to winning the treble at Bayern Munich?
Right. Yeah, well, right. Or as opposed to, you know, them winning, like making a semifinal or a final of the Champions League and winning the league, and then he comes in and then the expectations are absolutely through the roof. He's hoping that they fail a bit this season and don't win a trophy, and he's able to come in and save the day, right?
Easier, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Ralf Honigstein wrote a really great piece on Guardiola's time at Bayern and how, you know, it started with him walking in and impressing the whole media room with his fluent German that no one knew that he learned in 3 months. You know, just his dealing with the media before he eventually became very Jose-like in his shortness. Maybe that's not the right description, but I'm not Ralf Honigstein. I'm no wordsmith. It'll be interesting to see how Pep, you know, blends into the Premier League game right away, because everyone's going to want a piece of him.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to put a mic in his face.
Well, last week he was saying, you know, everyone's asking me about, you know, non-football things. You know, I'm getting bored of it. Like, get used to it, Pep.
Yeah,
right? You know, the German media is very professional, shall we say, compared to the English media.
And
he's going to be the target. It started already, right? Every day there's a new Pep article on all the usual rags across England, right?
Yeah.
They're loving it.
Better find your key restaurant in Cheshire and the backwoods of Macclesfield, because you're not going to be able to have it downtown.
No. Exactly. All right. We mentioned, you know, Leicester as now being officially, I think we can all agree, a contender.
They're
obviously
co-favorites with Arsenal on Bet365.
Why not Tottenham?
Ugh, oh, because
they got a shot.
Because what?
They don't have a shot. I honestly think I think they've been playing above their weight.
Wrigglesworth?
They're
Wrigglesworth.
Their second. The last time they were this close was 4 years ago. Bale and Ari had them nearly this high.
Harry had them.
Without H.
That's the difference. Harry had them.
And that's why they collapsed. I think they won one of their last nine or something and finished fourth. That was the year Chelsea won the Champions League and took the Champions League place away from them.
Correct.
I see some similarities to that team, but I also, you know, I've given Dele Alli credit. I've given Harry Kane credit. I don't think he's going to match the highs of last season, Harry Kane, again for a while, to be honest. But I just don't think that as a
but he has,
as
isn't
a,
he?
As a squad,
Harry Kane? Yeah.
You think he's matched last season?
Oh, yeah.
He's getting there.
He's last, getting there. I forget the stat. It's something like 12 goals in the last 15 games. He's been outstanding. Terrible start to the season, admittedly, but
yeah,
I think he's really bounced back.
I still think, though, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're talking about them as being legit title contenders if it wasn't for the doubts we have for Leicester, honestly.
You know, I tell the difference between Spurs now and then, 19 goals against.
Yeah.
That's the difference, right? They've got the best defense by a mile, plus they lost Vertonghen. In comes Wimmer, done a really good job, right? And they still have that attack. And if there's one team that has a bigger upside, I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
This team is so young, by far the youngest team in the Premier League, one of the youngest teams in Europe. They're only going to get better.
And they're finally kind of playing carefree, and that's been a thing for them for a while where it's, you know, not only the shackles on, but just, you know, the mindset. I just didn't know if a lot of the players and the club as a whole thought that they were good enough. But this one, in a sense, reminds me of how Leicester's playing, where they're just kind of going for it. And I love it. You know, these are the two teams that are playing the nicest stuff and the most consistent stuff. And right now, they're better than Arsenal and Man City. They're more consistent. I worry if the consistency will be there for the rest of the year to be able to mount that challenge. And again, it starts this weekend. They play at Man City. So we've got two amazing games on Sunday.
If not for the draws this year, they'd be in first place probably, right?
Yeah,
they would nine draws so far. Although Leicester's got eight draws as well, in fairness. But I think there's no team with a bigger upside. Dele Alli has been a sensation. He really has. And it's not just him, but he's, you know, making the news after that goal he scored.
Getting us excited for England, eh, Sharms? Here we go. Just in time.
I don't know what could go wrong at this point.
I don't know. Just in time here.
But I don't know what it is.
Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Ross Barkley. It's just so exciting.
Tom Carroll.
Oh, boy.
You're right. Something horrible is going to happen.
Yeah, no, of course it is.
It always does.
Alli is going to get a terrible injury, right? Probably in May. Oh, God.
Probably in the Europa League.
Hodgson will get some mosquito bite, and then there'll be a whole tabloid scandal that he's ill.
No, I just look at Spurs, and I really think that they're, you know, it's such a great fight this year. They're very much in the conversation. They're in second place, right? Just five back at Leicester. And just the way they're playing and that swagger again from this reckless abandon of youth. Oh, I remember that. That was fun.
That's why I think you're still so fond of us, because we somewhat remind you of how well you enjoyed life.
You used to, but then I realized you're almost 30. And you are 30, so that's sorry. You no longer have the Reds abandoned.
Oh, so you're not living vicariously through us anymore.
That's why Jordan's here.
You're right.
I'm going to start living vicariously through Jordan.
Right. Well, he's hanging out with Jamie Vardy, always a party.
You know what was impressive about Spurs this weekend, though, was talk about that free flow, but they ground out a win. They grinded it out against Watford, a 1-0, when you have to do that sometimes. And played that's well the kind of games that they're going to have to keep finding 3 points as the stretch run, you know, comes here. Because if you want to be in that title chase, you can't play your best at times, and you have to be able to get those points. And I thought they did that, and especially after Leicester had gone out and won, and you know, kind of set the bar for the weekend, they did what they had to do.
We talk about Leicester trying to keep everybody together. Pochettino, I think the bookmakers are taking money. Pochettino to United.
I saw that too. Yeah,
Ginger TFC asked, what would be the bigger loss to Spurs, Lloris, Kane, or Pochettino? Which of the three?
Daniel Levy wouldn't let any of them leave, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Levy is a
I think you can replace Lloris easier than you can replace Kane or Pochettino.
He's been great, but
yeah.
Probably.
I think it'd be, to be honest, between Kane and Pochettino, I think it'd be tougher to replace Pochettino. Look at the revolving door of managers they had when they were close after Ari.
Yeah.
Right, they were still relatively they'd spent a ton of money, obviously after Bale, but I think prior to that, and on paper they were a much improved team.
Yeah,
that never could match the expectations, which weren't as high as they are now. I think losing Pochettino would be worse.
I mean, it's crazy to say why would he leave. I mean, United is such a huge draw. We know what that means, even now when they're not what they once were. Right, Jordan, Man United fan over there. But what he's built and he's building at Spurs, I mean, it'd be the wrong time to leave in so many levels. He has got a team. It's taken him this long to get a team this good. There's a young team. He can build on this team. More money coming in, as I keep mentioning over and over again, next year. He's in the perfect situation.
It's a great situation. Why would you want to leave?
I don't know why I'd leave.
But,
a broken United team.
Always the lure of money and promises and bigger clubs, and you know. And
besides, Mourinho's going to United anyway, yeah. Right? It's a done deal, right?
I still hope so. I mean, we've said this before, but with Pep's announcement, is that not what everyone wanted?
I want it for sure.
Yeah,
be outstanding.
Conte and Allegri rumors for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Somebody asked us, Luca Toni's son, who we've found out is not actually Luca Toni's son.
So he says.
Which is disappointing.
So he says.
He's asking us if the Italian influx is a shift in tactical focus.
What, having
Guidolin?
Having, oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, you look, mind you, Guidolin's teams have always played attractive football, very un-Italian. And you watch Juventus with, I mean, listen, Italian football's changed as well, but that is not your typical Italian team. Right,
Juve.
Vintage, yeah.
Yeah.
They do everything well. Now, listen, they're great defensively, but they also play some fun watching football, that's for sure. But yeah, Jose, I mean, he's apparently met with him this week, but I feel a little bit sorry for Van Gaal.
Actually?
I do a little bit. Yeah, I think he's a decent guy. Hmm. He's arrogant, sure, but I think he's a decent guy. And I know he goes, oh, it's hard on the family, but I mean, in fairness, LVG, you've been around the block yourself a few times.
Yeah, he's been around. I mean, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. You know what to expect. I don't think, you know, you're. Kid in what probably early 20s is crying himself to sleep each night because daddy's being linked with a firing, but it's gonna happen and it'll be wonderful. And yeah, Jose will preach and coach a different style of football than perhaps United want. Mm-hmm. Vintage, but they're gonna get results, simple as that. Be a good team for it, a much better team. And Pep against Jose, battle of Manchester, that's amazing.
It'd be fantastic, especially for the you know, the global stage the Premier League is so proud to be on. It'd be great. I can't think of a better scenario.
Yeah. We'll get angry pretty soon, won't we, though? Really
with
angry.
Him?
With those two going.
Oh,
it'd be
sure.
A bit of a circus. Already I'm getting
that
angry.
First,
think about it.
That first derby, and it'll be 0-0, and they'll play 130 minutes, because Sergio Busquets in his derby debut will cleat someone in the face.
So United tied Chelsea 1-1. That Kurt Zouma injury was...
Yeah,
pretty bad.
It was rough.
It was bad,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty bad.
I, you know, and the announcers are like, oh, my.
Yeah, we don't need to see that anymore. Peter Drury was vomiting, basically. Yeah. Next to Jim Beglin.
He had a good weekend, Peter Drury.
He's
always, all the good games.
I'm a huge Peter Drury fan.
I laugh when you lead with Zouma. Obviously, like, horrible injury. You hate to see anyone go through that. But at the same time, that's the lead of that story. Like, it's pretty crazy. Like, well, because Kurt Zouma is
old now, right?
Yeah.
Kurt Zouma means a lot to that squad.
Does.
Big break for Gary Cahill.
Huge break.
No,
I guess
pun
he's
intended.
Not coming to China or MLS.
Yeah. Well, he was rumored to Liverpool before, but
Cahill
honestly,
was?
It's, yeah, was at he? Some point in the transfer window, he was rumored to Liverpool. But
yeah.
Yeah. To, you know, probably in the England starting 11. It's going to need some games.
No, it's going to be Stones and Smalling, please.
No, Cahill's got to wear the armband when Rooney gets sent off.
If Rooney starts to begin with.
You weren't really having that
oh,
debate?
Let the speculation
hey, I
begin.
Start it.
Can't wait, Charms. I'm just going to get our hopes up so much.
Oh, I know.
Amazing.
Reminds me a lot of like 2002.
And 06.
You're 04, sorry. Because we know the young kids coming through Rooney. Oh, yeah. The future. Wow.
And 06.
Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard in their prime.
2010, 22. Every single major tournament. Yes.
Darius Vassell.
Completely get our hopes
90,
up.
90, 86.
Yeah, no, honestly, but it's a double thing there that Zouma means something and that game really was, it's not, you know, Man United's top four challenge is crippled by that, but I can't remember the last time I watched a Chelsea Man United game and it meant so little.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It like something, didn't it?
Nothing to do in the title race. It's just
right.
Honestly, it was the only real thing in the table that meant anything for is Man United's top four challenge, and they keep 6 points back, you know? It's just bizarre.
I read a promo for it on Saturday night show, and you know, usually it's just a skeleton. This is the time the game is on, and I always add something to it. And the first thing that came to my mind was, and then Sunday morning, we've got 13th place Chelsea and 5th place United.
Okay. So on Saturday, I was promoting this. It's still a marquee match. Okay, so it's still honest it is.
Yeah.
Please watch.
But I was more intrigued with your promotion of Hockey Day in Canada. That was
great.
My thing.
Yeah. It's
Connor McDavid.
You called it the Loops at one point, I think. I heard.
The Loops, did I?
Yeah, I think so.
No, that's about Joffrey Loophole, though. It wasn't about Cam Loops.
You're dreaming of that one-on-one with Nazem Kadri still, eh? They haven't given you that?
What's that?
I've seen the request in the boss's office, the camera request for your one-on-one with Nazem Kadri.
It'd be a great interview.
Hasn't granted you?
It'd be great. It's begun, though, the slow spiral to hockey. You know, I'm doing promos now on Premier League days.
Yeah.
Before you know it, Josh Drumbleupulos and James Sharman. I'm going to take Sophia's job, I think.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You'd be much, yeah.
I'm going to wear a tight little dress as well.
You're much prettier.
Definitely. No chance.
Sorry.
Liverpool tied Sunderland 2-2.
That's all we're going to say about United and Chelsea, the marquee match of the weekend?
It's a decent second half, in fairness. First half, I'd rather watch paint dry.
Yeah.
In fact, I was actually, I was all over Twitter on the first half. They showed Boris Becker in the stands, and then for some reason, I threw back to 1985, before you were born.
Right. This is when you
Wimbledon final, and I was a kid, and watching the Wimbledon final against Kevin Curran. Mm. Boris Becker, 17 years of age, against Kevin Curran. So I thought, what's Kevin Curran doing now? So I started wikiing Kevin Curran and putting out Kevin Curran stats during the first half. Went down very well.
What is Kevin Curran doing?
Well, he's retired now.
Yeah, but what does he do in life?
I think he's just coaching now.
Okay.
But surprisingly, never won a Grand Slam, but did win 4 doubles Grand Slams.
Oh, boy.
That's interesting, I thought.
Oh, Daniel Nestor's got a few more than that, I think.
Oh, a lot more.
I just wanted to at some point get in, because in leading up to it, I described it as the battle between the two most unenthusiastic Dutchmen ever. I mean, take the two of them and contrast them with our friend Thomas Rongen. And try to explain to someone that they're from the same country. It's shocking, right? And I was quite happy to laugh at those two.
Yeah. Well, Hiddink's got a big personality off the field, though, I think. He likes to ride motorbikes. I think he likes his beer.
He's kind of the perfect, you know, fill in and half a year guy to, you know, take everyone likes them. They're going to play. We're not going to ruffle any feathers.
Play okay.
Happy to just, you know, be there for this stretch, make his money, and well respected and well regarded at the club, even though he's been fired from there to go back. You know what I mean? He is really the ideal guy to take it over. And you can see how it's changed the mentality, and the players are happier and they are playing better and out of the quote unquote relegation fight he thought they were in when he took over. So, you know, he has done a really good job so far, and I think that he will the rest of the season. And, you know, he'll be back in 5 years to do the same thing.
It's going to set him up so nicely to take the Qatar job.
For him and Avram Grant will be back co-managing Chelsea in 5 years.
He's likely the managerial super sub.
Yeah, no, he is. He is honestly.
In the season.
I don't know if that's a good thing, but he's done really well.
I'd rather have beer with Gus Hiddink than Louis van Gaal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
Yeah.
I feel like Louis van Gaal would be so bloody nervous.
I want to get hammered with Ranieri.
If I finish this pint, I might be wasted and embarrassed myself. I think he'd be like that.
You think so? I think he can.
That bit.
I think he could fire them back. Really? Good. Louis van Gaal? Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Which Premier League manager would you most like to have pints with right now?
Jurgen Klopp. Be at a great live show.
It's tough to argue. I'm loving Ranieri right now. He's awesome.
Yeah, but not.
The English isn't great.
Be pints, so it'd be like a nice Chardonnay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I like wine. Big wine fan.
The ladies would probably be all over him too.
Probably.
Good wingman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid. Slaven Bilic should be fun too, I think.
Yeah, Slaven Bilic would
be
fun.
That'd be a crazy night out.
They'd go off the rails pretty good, I bet you.
We'd run into Vardy for sure.
No
somewhere
doubt.
At 5 a.m. strip club.
At the casino. some disparaging
sandwiches
comments
from some gas station, God knows where, at 8 a.m.
Kike Flores would be fun for Dubs, for Dunlop here.
Yeah. You talk about.
You hate him so much.
You think LVG would be arrogant. I think Kike would be quite arrogant.
Tony Pulis would nut you. Right,
end up naked in a shower somewhere. Sure,
he'd be sitting there quietly in the background, and he'd just be talking. He'd go, what you say?
We met Big
what
Sam.
What did you say?
Big Sam was a cool guy.
Right? Yeah,
Big Sam would be nice to have a beer. He's got a big Jag.
Yeah,
Giant that giant.
Kept
limo
us waiting
Jag.
4 hours, but yeah.
Well, Andy Carroll record day it was.
Yeah,
he'd be a bitter man, wouldn't he? Big Sam, he'd be sinking bitters, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he'd be drinking
bitters.
I had to think for a second. Well, I don't think he's that bitter of a man. I think he's actually quite composed. Is this the year that both Big Sam and Tony Pulis get relegated?
No, neither one.
Not
neither
Pulis.
One? You think?
I think Big
you
Sam.
Think getting out?
I don't know. What do you mean? The person to score 15 goals in the last.
They're right where
games.
They want to be. They want to be 5 points from safety with 4 matches to go.
How many times can you?
I know.
Gamble though, like that?
I know. No, I think Norwich are sunk. I don't like. Don't like that look of that team very much. I think Newcastle did enough to stay up. Swansea's interesting.
Spent enough.
Swansea's interesting with
playing better, aren't they?
They're playing better. Bournemouth, I hope can continue the results. I feel like they're going to get dragged in and around it. But
they're only 5 up.
They've been.
It's not enough.
It's just not that many teams that are going to be involved in it. I think.
And with Villa climbing their way out, I mean, you're going to have suck someone else
could
to
have,
the bottom.
Honestly, they needed that one obviously on the weekend, but it's not dead yet.
No,
possible.
It's not. I mean, it's
this time
it's
last
late.
Year, Leicester were bottom.
It's late.
So Villa's going to win the title next year.
I know.
This time last year, think about it.
Villa or Leicester
but
last
they are,
year.
They are favorites to win the title next year, the championship.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
Although
yeah.
Someone asked me for my thoughts on deadline day, and I said, you know what, if they had relegated their minds to playing championship football, why not use the window to better yourself for next year? Like,
yeah,
that
was, it was ridiculous how little they did. It was really ridiculous.
They did nothing.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. They did nothing.
That's what, desperate.
Yes, by Randy very little.
Randy Luna's got a lot to answer for. Yeah. He can't step foot in Birmingham.
I just
if he ever did to start with, but
I mean, yeah, God, I think he so rarely does now. But the, you know, the idea he just wants to rid himself of that team.
Yeah. And well, how do you sell that team?
I guess they're more attractive to a buyer, as in your. I'm assuming your price is lower if you're in the championship. But why would you want to do that?
My God, well, with the TV money coming in,
yeah, I know
that's a club. Premier League clubs are worth a lot of money right now.
Said last week that the bottom of the table. Whoever finishes 20th is going to make, it's like a million and a half more than Chelsea made to win the league last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it's
98 million.
Insane amount of money. Yeah.
That's part of the reason why the Liverpool fans are furious right now. They had the big walkout on the 77th minute against Sunderland, and they lost that game in the last 10 minutes with the fans out. It did change the mood of that game.
Did it ever.
And, I mean, you understand why. I mean, the prices are going up for the new stand.
Yeah,
£77 is the highest price, which is way more than it used to be. And you know the business model, and they're saying, well, still over half the tickets are still being frozen or less. But that's not the point. You know, I mean, I saw Jamie Carragher, I think it was, wrote a column today in the Mail, I think it was. And he breaks it down just how much money they are saving or making from, you know, putting these. And it's not a hell of a lot, right? It's a few million here or there.
Right.
They could, from a PR standpoint, have done the right thing here and made it more affordable. But no one's going to ever do that, sadly. Mm. West Ham are doing it, but they're not paying for the stadium.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big thing about West Ham. It's a great story. I love what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they haven't paid a dime for that stadium.
Did they? The refresh our memories. They capped it? Is it £35 a ticket?
I forget the number now, but it's extremely affordable.
In away days, they've priced, I think they fixed away days at £25 a ticket or something. If you're in an end. Well, Fenway Sports Group screwed up. Should have made it £99, and everyone would have left.
Yeah, it's scary, you know, because the Premier League and just soccer in England as a whole has always just been driven by the fans, right? And when you're starting to price people out, it really is scary, and it's happening more and more. And we've seen the protests over the years, and it's sad to think where the game might be in 10 years, where the people that can afford to go aren't going to be the real fans. Well, I think that scares the crap out of all of us.
Carragher said, you know, imagine you win the lottery. What is the first thing you do, right? You take care of
buy your
dad.
Club.
take care of mom and dad. Right?
Make sure that's way too
nice. You wouldn't because your dad's an But, you know, most people who like their parents would take care of mom and dad first, right? And it's like the same thing now with the TV money, right? Who got you there? Who are the most important? But that's just naive. And sadly, it's naive. and it's not just football, it's professional sport.
Yeah.
In general, and the bottom line is, they're going to sell out every game next year at that price point. Mm-hmm. They are, right? So the market bears it, they're going to do it. Simple as that. It's not right, it's horrible, but that is, sadly, a capitalist society that we live in.
American owners that have profited from that on this side of the pond and see that model. I mean, we live in Toronto, and not to be too Toronto-centric, but I think it goes without saying that the Toronto Maple Leafs dictate the prices for tickets in other sports, let alone other markets.
The worst entertainment of the sports teams here. I mean,
it's the most expensive ticket on the continent.
Morgan Riley might disagree.
I mean, Raps and Jays is so much more affordable and such a better product these days. But
hey, JD,
but those playoff tickets,
2-year deal, happy with it?
Outstanding.
Yep.
Yeah, good.
Those. It's not time for bits and bobs yet. Don't rush us.
Okay.
You don't got it. He doesn't have to get to that meeting until 11:30. I've seen them walk in. You're prepared today. the playoff tickets for the Jays, which were exceptionally increased from the regular season prices, and even from the top prices were triple or quadruple, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
that. If the Leafs don't set the bar with their ticket prices as high as they are, I don't think anyone's even thinking that they can sell a ticket for that price for the Jays.
Yeah, but the demand was so high last year and just the buzz around it that they sold out so quickly anyways. Yeah. They would have gone for...
But we've seen a couple of the concerts that use that model and gamble and it shoots him in the foot. That Inter Milan game,
yeah,
right here, they've come off winning the treble. People aren't paying $110 to
different,
see them.
Different, though, right?
NFL.
To the Jays buzz. The Jays could have sold them for whatever they wanted and they would have gone, right?
But Liverpool attempting to do this, and for some of the owners, maybe non-American owners who didn't think, oh, we could squeeze them for another 10 quid a ticket, now they're thinking about it. So, and you're right, like, you know, West Ham flying the flag for the good clubs and the working man and the real fan, but it's because they can afford to do it because it's not their money.
Yeah, yeah. But the bottom line is we can all whine about it and make these great, valid points, but they're going to sell out. And
yeah, exactly.
Not, you know, they've done their research. It's as simple as that. I mean, I wouldn't have, I was upset with the Jays prices this year a little bit until they signed Gavin Floyd. And it's like, okay, okay.
There goes now that million bucks.
Now yeah. I get it.
There'll be no raises this year, guys, but we've got Gavin Floyd.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in. I'm all in. Getting my Floyd shirt printed as we speak, actually. Oh, what about Alan Pardew for beers? Yeah, yeah, no.
Eh.
No? I mean, he's a bit smarmy.
Did you see that video when he was out with the Palace fans a couple weeks ago?
No, I didn't see that.
No.
He was out with the Palace
fans?
Yeah,
he was like up on a table having a little speech or whatever, I think, celebrating whatever win it was for him. But yeah.
He is a bit smarmy. But I don't know. Might be all right.
He seems kind of boring.
You know who I wouldn't have beers with? The what's his name? The Klopp's number two. Buvac.
Oh, the
yeah. Did you see
the guy he brought from Dortmund?
Yeah. Did you see him during the match? Yeah, you didn't see him. He,
no.
He couldn't be more un-Klopp.
Well, he couldn't
He's
be.
He's like LVG,
he
just
be
timid, sitting in the background.
Really?
He no. Couldn't. Well, I mean, guess not. But, I mean, have some personality. Look at that club you're walking at. And you knew what day it was. Stand in the box for a minute.
Do you think Klopp will be more reserved today in the sidelines, given that he's got stitches in his appendix area?
You'd hope.
Potentially.
Or maybe he'll just...
he's still not happy with his glasses
and,
he's got.
Bleed out everywhere.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's possible.
One can hope.
Leading the fans dry.
I don't know.
May as well.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Okay, bits and bobs, fine. Bits and bobs, we're out of time. So what do you think? Well, you better have a good
Did
one here.
Lance just rush your bits and bobs?
No,
I don't want bits and bobs. I woke up for this. I want another 35 minutes of this podcast. This is too short.
You're not getting it. Riggleswap.
Riggleswap. What do you have for bits and bobs?
Happy Chinese New Year, everybody.
Oh, okay, that's what you got.
Oh. Year of the Monkey.
That's what you rushed
How
for.
How about Year of the Foxes, huh? I didn't rush to bits and bobs. I didn't want to be here. I wanted to keep going.
That was your bits and bobs?
It's
terrible.
I had nothing. I didn't want to be here, bits and bobs. You've rushed the podcast.
It's been like 50 minutes.
Well,
we've gone longer
slow
than usual.
It down.
People are so bored.
It's Tuesday. This is a completely redundant podcast, right? It's been done the weekend already by 18,000 different podcasts.
We should have previewed West Ham Liverpool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It'll be dated by the time it gets up. Anything for you, bits and bobs?
No.
Nothing at all?
That. No. Well, we already talked about the Super Bowl.
NBA
Josh
All-Star
Donaldson.
Weekend?
Yeah, I'll be working quite a bit, I think.
No, but you're not going
Should
to Michael Jordan's party
no,
at Casa
I'm not
Loma
going
Friday
to any parties,
night?
No.
You know he's in town, right? Our boy.
Who?
Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Lee,
yeah. They're actually coming in.
They're in now.
A couple of them are going to be on the show on Tim
and
Sid. Tass and Skeets will be on the show on Thursday.
Leave us some points at some point this week.
Yeah. Oi. Aussie.
They're doing live shows at Real Sports. I was actually going to
They are,
to
yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We should...
if he snaps at me, I'll Snapchat you a picture.
We should get him to tape a footy first at like 9 a.m. just for fun, yeah, like Thursday or Friday. Footy first. Oi, punters.
Hey, that show Vinyl, I'm just seeing it advertised here. Is that new? A brand new show?
I think it is, yeah.
It looks pretty good from the...
oh, yeah?
The trailer?
HBO? What is it about?
It's like rock and roll.
Oh, cool.
In the 70s?
In the 70s. Yeah. Is it a brand new series? Like, it's not like a second series. It's brand new. It starts this Sunday.
HBO.
Really?
Martin Scorsese and Mick Jagger.
Wow.
The people can't hear Lance. You've got to repeat what Lance is saying.
Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese. Check out your Rogers local listings.
It's on HBO on demand. Not show me, though, apparently.
No.
Unfortunately.
Not yet. All right. Listen, we could just do this for the next 15 minutes, just small talk. It's really boring. we're done. Oh, Christ. I'm dying here.
Lovely.
How was that, Jordan? Was it fun?
Really good. Okay.
All right. Checking out the financial ads there.
We are back on Thursday. Myself and J-Mo talking. I don't know what we're talking. Probably MLS at some point.
If Steven Sandor can pick up the phone, you guys are chatting.
We're going to be doing it.
A lot of Canadian talk.
Yep. Well,
actually, a lot of Canadian talk. And Victor Montagliani throwing his hat in the ring.
I know,
for CONCACAF president.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Your boy Altidore. You must have been so torn when you scored the only goal to beat Canada the other night. Eh?
A little bit, you know.
Next weekend is a holiday, Monday, right? I'm in the cottage. Are you guys around for the podcast or not?
Yeah, we should do one after City Spurs Arsenal. And Arsenal Spurs. Leicester.
People like it when it's just Derby.
If you're both available, more, too, that's much better.
We'll mentally focused.
Much better. I'm working, so.
Okay, and the week after that, I'm not here. I'm actually in Houston doing women's Olympic qualifying games.
What?
The week after that is an FA Cup weekend, so we might take that one off. But we'll do that one next week for sure.
Well, look at you getting travel trips.
All nine of you.
Have you been to Houston before?
You should be
anyone?
Very
I have no idea what to expect of Houston. What's it like? Any idea?
You been I've never there? Been. No.
I hear it's nice. I hear Dallas has prettier women.
Yeah.
But those days of enjoyment for all of us are behind us.
Well behind us. Hate pretty women, that's for sure. All right. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this. You didn't. We know that. I apologize.